Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hey, we are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, just like we promised. We promised we would, Kevin. Yesterday, we were like, hey,
you
might see some snow. You might see some ice, some sleet, some wet out there, but we'll be here in the studio today. Now, tomorrow, no guarantees, all right?
We'll still do the show. We'll be on air.
Okay. That's a 99.9%.
Oh, man.
We'll be on air. Look, there's sometimes things happen.
Okay.
But 100% today. We got Kevin Hagelin. We got the famous Mike Bassick. And we have the even more famouser Alec Medford. All in studio today. And you, the Tolos, enjoying your day with us. And I feel like you need to chill out, maybe warm up in the warm glow of a radio today and just enjoy the snowy, wetty weather out there.
And maybe give us a snow update.
All day long?
Wherever you are.
All day long? Is that how you want it? Or you
Sure.
Yeah. Is it snowing where you are? Is it wet where you are? What's going on where you are right now?
I don't know if you want to ask that second question.
Yeah, tell us about the wet. How wet is
audience.
It? Yeah. Is it moist in that area right now? Or what are you doing? What are you dealing with right now? Mike, we found this from MLB.com, and I always love these things. Kevin does a really good job of bringing these from The Athletic a lot of times, and so Jonathan Mayo. Mm-hmm.
He just lost his job.
No, that's Gerard Mayo.
It's a tough break.
Jonathan Mayo put this together. It's the executives prospect poll, and we're looking at the Rangers right now, and we're getting ready to hopefully make another run at a World Series. Somebody texted in yesterday was like, why would a guy choose this team? Because they're still a loaded team with a great manager.
And we can go over a lot of different places that have the Rangers firmly as a top 10 team. Like, I'm not saying Kevin's power ranking. I'm saying ESPN, like, has, I think, them at number 7, number 8. Like, they're firmly entrenched in the top 10.
MLB Pipeline Executives Poll has, this is the fifth part. They have the Rookie of the Year, Top Prospects, Top Tools, and Farm Systems. So this is actually the fourth part of it. This is their poll, Executives Poll, on who has the best farm systems and how they draft and stuff. They started with this, though. Which team is most likely to sign Roki Sasaki? And I know there are some people that are very interested in the Sasaki story. My personal opinion, I am not. Because I feel very confident in the pitching they have, and I just don't know how that's going to land. I'm also not trying to get my hopes up.
I guess I feel like January 15th is the date he can decide. So I've been holding off until, so we're 6 days away from that?
Yes.
Today's the 9th? Yeah. So I've been holding off on, okay, closer to January 15th is when we can start maybe talking Sasaki again, because we'd be getting close to a decision.
All right, so
I've started to, and I could definitely be wrong about this, I think I've started to shift over because some of the buzz to the Padres picking up Sasaki. Okay. Obviously, I hope it's the Rangers, but I think the Padres is where I'm going.
I'm sticking with this theory. I guess this is maybe conspiracy, but I think the Dodgers were going to sign him in December or late November, but I think just like Chris Paul getting traded to the Lakers and David Stern said that ain't happening. If I have my
MLB was my, like, we have rules.
Yeah. And they saved $2.5 million for a reason.
Specifically for that.
I don't think the Dodgers were like, oh yeah, let's just not use $2.5 million on international prospects, which would be Dominican Republicans, Venezuelans. They decided to save. What are you doing? Why are you saving $2.5 million? And I think they had a deal done. And then MLB stepped in and somehow didn't like the look of it, that maybe there was something illegal about it, like, or tampering. And I think they are making it wait until January 15th, when I think he's just going to announce the Dodgers, because I think they had a deal done in October or November.
Fair.
The Dodgers are like, hey, look, we're trying to use it for a hedge fund so we could pay off this this Shohei contract later down the road.
Hey, Corey, can I pause you for just one second?
Gosh.
I'm sorry.
What's happening, everybody? Here we go.
Do you want to give a shout out? I know it's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday, dude. What are we doing?
I got a text message from one Mark Henry.
Really?
Oh,
what's going on, man? I'm listening to you guys as I'm driving into Dallas to cover the Texas-Ohio State game.
You should probably be paying attention to the road. Oh, hold on. He's driving into Dallas.
Would you have Mark Henry on tomorrow to talk about it?
Would you allow Shout out to Mark Henry for listening, even though it's not a Friday. I realize we're breaking protocol.
Be safe on the roads, Mark Henry.
Somebody could be driving him.
Be safe on the roads, Mark Henry's driver. But yeah, shout out for him.
World's strongest man.
He's awesome, dude. He's really cool.
And he knows a lot about football, too.
Yeah, he does.
A lot about wrestling, obviously.
He loves Texas.
Yeah. No, and I follow him on Twitter, and he's a fun follow, too. So if you want
to, go ahead and check him out. We should have like a round table with Matthew McConaughey, Vince Young, Quinn Ewers, and
Ricky Williams.
And Mark Henry.
Really wish we would have discussed this earlier so I could start getting all those people booked.
Alec, you got work to do. You need to get all those people on for the round table, all right?
Oh, wow.
There we go.
We can have my daughter on, too. She goes to UT.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah, she goes
to
UT.
We'll have to zoom her in.
She's already back in Austin. He wants to go to UT.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a buddy who went to UT. We can ask him if he knows anybody. So the most likely team to sign Sasaki is at 44% from the executives poll, the Dodgers. The second team, Kevin, you threw them out there, the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
And then at 8.9%, the San Francisco Giants. And then 11% for everybody else. And the Rangers did receive votes in this. So they Rangers, Cubs, Mariners, Rays, and Yankees. And I know, again, some people are very excited about it. And some people like myself are just kind of like not getting my hopes up. We'll see what happens.
Can I ask you a question? I know there's more to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather, I think this is an easy question, but I'm just going to ask it because this is going to kind of be baseball nuggets, but I'm throwing it right here. Would you rather you hear that the Rangers sign Kirby Yates to a 2-year contract at, let's just say, $24 million, or that the Rangers have, won the rights or are signing Sasaki?
I'm sorry.
I know.
Mike, we both.
Yeah.
We both did a mic just now.
I did.
That's fine. I saw. Okay.
I'm sorry.
But did Mark Henry say he wants to come on
tomorrow? He goes, I'll call in anytime you guys want. So I got distracted. My apologies.
That's awesome.
Mark Henry's what's up. Go ahead.
So my question is based off of this Sasaki thing, and it's a long shot that he's a Texas Ranger.
I agree.
Is would you rather hear on January 15th? I think this is an easy question. I'll say that again. The Rangers have signed Sasaki, or Sasaki, you've won the rights to Sasaki and you're going to negotiate with him now because that's where he wants to be, or the Rangers sign Kirby Yates to a 2-year contract.
It's, wow. Okay. I will be the outlier then. To me, it's without question Sasaki, because you're going to end up picking up what really...
6 years at least.
What really turns out to be essentially a $250 million discount.
Like
you're going to get a... huge discount off of all
the other benefit of that too. I probably need to lean more that way, is you do have an older pitching staff and it does give you the more likelihood of going to that 6-man rotation.
I've been told that if they get Sasaki, they have to go to a 6-man.
I want Kirby Yates here, but let's say you miss out on Kirby Yates. You're missing out on 2 for $30. Let's just really go high. 2 for $30 with Sasaki. You're saving hundreds of millions of dollars.
I wonder this, too. If you do get Sasaki, if then Ray Davis would say, we got to get Kirby Yates. We just put ourselves in a... I get you have Sasaki for 6 years, but we just put ourselves in a position where we could make it to the World Series again.
Mike, typically we both refer to the Dodgers and the Braves as the best farm systems and scouting, as we've always gone along. According to the Pipeline Executives poll, the Boston Red Sox are at 32%.
Really?
The best farm system right now. And then Tampa, Detroit, the Sox, White Sox, Dodgers, Cubs. And then the Rangers also did receive votes in this.
Okay, let me pause you right there. How agitating. I'm agitated that the Dodgers are in this category. They're too good.
They trade all the time.
Yeah, they're too good to be in this category. Like, I get Tampa, that this is their entire business runs because they can scout. If they couldn't scout, they're not spending money. They're screwed.
They would be a 100 loss team every year.
Exactly. But it makes me upset that the Dodgers are so good, win all the time, and then people are like, they might have the fifth best farm system.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, that's infuriating.
Yeah, that's just what they do.
I always wonder why this, you know, you can kind of wonder this with Jerry Jones. When there's no salary cap on scouts and now in baseball, minor league coaches, I have no clue who this person is. I'll just throw this out. I love Charlie Huff, and Charlie Huff is a small part of the Dodgers organization still today.
I love Charlie Huff too.
Why wouldn't you go get and pay $3 million to who you think is best at developing minor league pitchers? yep. and say, this is going to be my pitching coordinator in the minor leagues, because me paying $3 million will get me possibly five pitchers that are worth $15 to $30 million a piece that I'm only paying $700,000 to $1.5 million a year.
And that's where I think about the luxury tax. And I'm like, I really want Kirby Yates back. Let's say he costs about $12 million a year, give or take. You could also take that $12 million, have no possibility of luxury tax, and go raid the scouting world. You're like, no, I want that person and that person and that person and that person. Yeah. You can get all the best of them. And
it seems like in all sports, there's a handshake agreement between all the owners. We will only pay this much for scouts.
Yeah.
We will only pay this much for pitching coordinators or hitting coordinators
yeah.
or minor league hitting coaches or major or minor league pitching coaches. Because if somebody did what Kevin Hagelin just did, now I have to raise the price of the guys I want to keep they don't go to his organization, because now he is tripling the pay there. And it's like the owners all have a handshake agreement. We won't do that, because if somebody does, if one of you people do this, you're screwing us over, because we know that we're going to have to pay that much to keep our guys.
It seems like a Cohen would do something like that, because he just kind of entered this world.
It's a space in sports that I'm surprised people don't take more advantage of, because sure, you're going to screw yourself in the future, but how much are you going to win right then by just like, we're Black Fridaying it. I'm buying them all up and taking them all.
And the thing is I don't know this, but
I don't know.
I think scouts, like good ones, are 100 to 150K. If you put them to 200K, all you've done is add $50,000 to $100,000 of salary to your overall salary structure. But if that person is good at developing pitchers, and you have Paul Skenes is a bad example because he was first overall pick, but I'm trying to think of somebody off the top of my head. I'm sorry. That was like a fifth round pick. I'll give you this. Bybee, and I know people won't know who he is. He pitches for the Cleveland Guardians. Really good pitcher. I believe fifth round pick. Well, that dude should be making $10 to $20 million a year, but Cleveland gets him for $700,000 to $1 million the next 3 years. Isn't that, do you see what I just did?
Yes.
Let's just do the math. He's worth approximately $20 million. I'm only paying him $800,000. I am saving $19.2 million. That guy who I paid $50,000 extra to steal him away from all their jobs because they were only willing to pay him $150,000.
And there's no luxury tax on that.
Right. It makes all the sense in the world, but there has to be a handshake agreement between owners, like a collusion of we won't do this.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense. Who drafts the best? Which team drafts the best?
I mean, I would think Tampa would be.
Recently, I'd say maybe the Orioles, just because it feels like they have so many good players hitting.
Dodgers are probably in the mix again, which is annoying.
Tampa is not listed, Kevin.
Really?
Tampa is not listed. The Rangers.
Surprising.
The Rangers did receive votes. The Reds receive votes. I know you've been interested in what they've done. The best drafting team is the Dodgers. The second best is the Red Sox.
They're always picking near the last, and then they get guys that people really want.
Yeah, because people moved on because they're saving money at the top. Boston second. The Orioles are third. I think they're tied with the Brewers here. And then the Cleveland Guardian Oceans, they are fourth. So that's where they land. And then the Rangers receive votes. Nationals are in the mix there, too, and the Twins. But that was kind of interesting. Rangers really aren't listed in any of this as good farm system or good drafting right now. They just are a receive votes team. And that's
which, in some of them, where there's only a top five, that's not the worst place in the world to be, right?
And then,
or it seems like top 10. And so it's like, well, they're not top 10, but they're close
middle,
to it.
Yeah.
You know what? There is more to this. I'm going to hold on to it because we asked a question early, and from the 817, David Finfrock here, Moist AF out here in the streets.
Mm.
I'm glad that David Finfrock's listening, and I appreciate the
fact
that
feel like the way he talks?
He's being the real David Finfrock for us, and that's what I appreciate. And I think Dan Brunoff would point out, that's how my guy acts.
If you're going to have a weatherman battle royal.
I think we said weather persons yesterday.
Weather person battle royal. I apologize. You're picking Sun's out, guns out, Brunoff, right?
Every time. Okay. Every time. Even
1080.
Even the fact that he's like, you know what? Today I'm going one button less. You get more chest today.
Show you some chest, man.
From the 469, it's very snowy here in Frisco. That's from our boy Zach in Frisco out there. The Melissa area from the 214. Snowing hard has been for 2 hours. The temp is 30, so it's mostly sticking. Got 18 more hours of this. And then I can't read that. Come on, people. What are we doing here?
You had to know.
You know what they say about things sticking?
God help us.
They're stickers.
From the 817 what? Fort Worth delivering Petacola's beer. It's nasty right now. Snow, sleet, and slush in the Fort Worth area. And Fort Worth also from the 817. Sleet, rain, roads are very slushy. Denton, heavy snow. Roads are covered. Dumping snow and ponder. So it's really crazy, Kevin, to me, the difference in 1 mile.
Sure.
You know, 1 mile you stretch from Plano to Richardson to Dallas. Yeah. I got three different types of weather on my drive in. One was light snow, thick snow, and then I got sleet and rain.
Is there a Metroplex bigger than Rhode Island?
It's got to be.
I bet it is. That's
Rhode Island's really small.
Or even like, I don't know, sometimes when you're in Connecticut, they're like, yeah, I live in Connecticut. You're like, you work in New York, but you live, like, yeah, it's a 10-minute drive.
You ask the weirdest questions,
that's
Mike,
a good question. I like it. I really do like that question. Okay, let me ask you a question then, Corey, since you don't like these offbeat questions.
I don't like them.
Do you think we lead the nation in cold rain?
Yes.
Because I thought for the longest time, like, cold rain. We have more 35-degree rain than anybody else. You're like, I don't know.
No, it's not going.
It could be.
And most of the time, you're like, it's not going to. And it's not going to snow. It's not going to get any worse. And the kid's like, but it could. And you're like, come on, kid. We're going to have to break your spirit here just a little bit. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, is sports more powerful than it's ever been before? Kevin loves this. Next on The Fan.
Here's the snap to Jimerson. He's going to load, go deep downfield as a man wide open. It is caught. It's Gibson, and it is a touchdown. 49 yards on the strike from Jimerson to Gibson.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford, and you, the Tolo out there building snowmans.
Dude, what? Did you put an S on that?
I don't think there's just one snowman out there.
Wouldn't you just say snowmen?
It serves persons now?
Snow persons.
Yeah, that's how we got to say
Otherwise, it offends people. By the way,
it's just where you stick the carrot. It matters.
That's a good point. Kids, why would you? Like, do you ever think about that? If Frosty came to life, he'd be like, kids, why did you do that? Because now it's just dongling around there. So
you had to go get a baby carrot? Come on.
Right there. I just wanted to shout out Quentin Gibson. He's the North Crowley wide receiver. I believe he's going to Colorado. He was named the Max Preps National Player of the Year. And like, wow, that's freaking incredible. We talked about going into like a month ago.
Congratulations.
The North Crowley Dunkville game, how big that was going to be. But
36-34, wrong team.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but I'm really happy that I'm glad that North Crowley completed the mission too.
Yes.
It's like, if you're going to beat my school,
you need to finish
and
complete up.
It, and then it's like, that's awesome for Fort Worth / North Crowley.
And they did. And Quentin Gibson was named Max Preps National Player of the Year. Very impressive.
That is awesome right there.
Now, I appreciate you guys indulging in this next topic with me, because I've actually wanted to do this for a couple of weeks. I'm going to ask the question, do you think sports is more powerful than ever? And here's what brought that up to me. So, and there's been a couple of different charts. It depends. Do you just do live TV ratings? Do you do live plus two? Like, there's a lot of different charts, but I'm going to go with the one from Variety, because, like, you know, that's what they do. So Variety broke down the top 100 broadcasts of the primetime year. How many of those do you think?
Top 100.
Top 100. How many do you think were sports?
60.
75. But then think about this, and this is the one that I was like, get out of here. I also learned that the CBS show The Tracker is very, very popular.
I never heard of it.
It's very popular among, I don't know.
I've never watched it, but yes, people. I see a lot of ads for it.
65 of the top 68 shows were sports. Think about that. 65.
Did you two break this down? Of the top 68. Is it all football?
It's not all football. It's almost all NFL football.
Oh, not even college. I thought for sure like there would be quite a few college games.
There is some college sprinkled in there. There's Olympics. There's one college, women's college basketball that actually rated higher than the men's college basketball, which we talked about this last year with the Caitlin Clark effect. There's one Major League Baseball, but 65 of the top 68. Do you guys care to guess what non-sports things made it in?
The three?
Yep.
I'm going to assume something election, like debate or election.
Yes, the debate is what Variety had as making it in.
Was it the Biden debate or was it the Harris debate?
It was the Harris debate.
Okay.
Because I think the Biden debate took place because this was for the fall season. Okay. And I think
now
the
summertime.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing I would throw out there is it would be different because they stacked all the debate stuff together. If you said debate coverage on Fox, debate coverage on CNN, debate coverage on ABC, then I think it would pick off many more places. But they essentially just combined it all together, and it was the second highest behind
the
Super Bowl. I agree with that. But it was the debate, the Grammys, and the Oscars.
Wow.
Those three things.
I can't believe people still watch the... I mean, I'm not saying nobody, but the Grammys and the Oscars, that's just... That died as, I don't know, like the internet to me. Like, I don't know, maybe later than that. But that used to be a thing in our house when I was a kid because you didn't have internet... And you didn't have YouTube or anything else. You just had we had cable. So let's say 30 channels. So like when the Oscars or Grammys came on, that was a big deal.
I think they do a pretty decent job of, they have a football lead in a lot of times with those.
Yeah.
Not every time, but a lot of times I feel And then.
And then Will Smith smacks people up.
That world, Mike, is very different from sports. You know, in the pop culture world, that is a big population of people that aren't sports fans.
Right. True.
So you're talking about the only thing that could crack sports, a once a year thing, and a once every 4 year thing. No regular TV episode, nothing could break through in the top 68 spots. Mike, that's where I learned that the Tracker is really popular because the Tracker has like 15 episodes in the rest of the top 100.
So out of 25 episodes, 25 shows that wouldn't be sports, they hold 15 of the other 25?
The Tracker dominated.
What is that show
about? The rest
about?
Of this. It's with the really handsome guy from This Is Us, and that's pretty much
it. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like a bounty hunter. Kinda. He goes and finds people that are lost.
Okay. And so... I was looking at this, and it's pretty consistently this high. The Olympics helped a little bit this past year because there was a few Olympic broadcasts in there. But at a time when, obviously, we're in the midst of the streaming wars or whatever you want to call it, you see potential combinations of streaming services all the time. Do you think sports is more powerful than ever? Because it's right there for you in black and white. What content do people watch? They watch sports, 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 sports. It is amazing to me that they took 65 of the top 68 spots. And then you consider all these streaming spots are looking for content. And they're looking for content that people will watch the
live
ads
sports.
Through. Exactly. And then network TV is desperately trying to hold on to some of these things. I think sports might have more leverage than it ever has.
And one of the things, Mike, I think for that, as far as like TV shows go, is the immediacy. If you want to watch it, it has to be a live event most times. I know, Mike, you'll watch the Cowboys game different. We all do. A lot of times we'll kind of try and fast forward through it sometimes, but it's because it's live and it's happening in the moment.
That's what really stinks about the Mavs this year. It is great that they are on Channel 29. And so you get it pretty easily, if that makes sense. But I do not have any type of DVR. I have no way to get home at 9 p.m. from... Now, if when it's on TNT, I do. Like the Laker game, I do. But if it's just on Channel 29 and my son has a basketball game or something happening and I get home at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, I either watched it or I didn't watch it.
And I think that's one thing that streaming sites have done a really good job of picking up on is...
What's helped out WWE on Netflix because I didn't watch it live. I got to watch it a couple hours after it was over.
Fact. People want to rewind live TV.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Alec, you could probably back me up on this. Whenever the WWE does their premium live events, look, I love wrestling. There can be a lot of fluff in these shows that like I don't need to see, or like I don't need the hype package. I've been watching like
under the ring so they don't hurt their backs and stuff.
No, not like that. No. But I've been watching and I don't need to be caught up. And you can start those things 45 minutes behind, an hour behind, and catch up easy. You have to have that option in modern TV.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool that now, especially on Peacock, I know they do this with a lot of the PLEs, that even like an hour after, they'll chapter everything. Kind of like on the Odyssey app, where you can just find wherever you want to go to. You can skip through, and it even gives you the option, like a little button, like, do you want to skip this intro package? Do you want to go straight to the point? It's like, yes, I just want to watch that content. It makes it so much easier.
And we're about to start the run of all the sports things that are going to be at the top, because it's NFL playoffs.
Leading Super Bowl number one?
Yes. The Super Bowl has been number one. Shoot, I'd have to go back and check the last time the Super Bowl wasn't number
one. Isn't that awesome for football, as they don't have to? I'm not saying that baseball or basketball does, but they don't have to manipulate who's in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like the NBA and Major League Baseball.
Kind of feels like they do sometimes.
I mean, nothing against our team. We love our team. But the Rangers and Diamondbacks was a big disappointment for Major League Baseball for their major, you know, Super Bowl / World Series.
Last year.
Dodgers, Yankees are like, we did it!
Last year, none of those broadcasts made the top 100. This year, two of them did.
Yeah.
So there's your difference right there, to your point. But yeah, I will have to go back and look the last time the Super Bowl wasn't number one. But playoffs will dominate this whole run. And then the Super Bowl will inevitably be number one. And I saw someone throwing this out there with the, you know, more and more streaming that makes broadcast TV's traditional reach smaller and smaller. And I actually think that's why sports has gotten stronger, is because all these places are like, what's going to differentiate?
Yeah.
And look, Peacock.
Think about the money. Juan Soto, obviously that's baseball, but you can go to, like, here pretty soon, the Mavericks are going to have to pay Luka Doncic $70 million a year on their basketball team, just one player. And we're going to get, in our lifetime, because of all this dominance and money, we're going to get to $100 million a year players in sports.
The other thing, Kevin, when you talk about the broadcasts getting smaller and smaller, that is a money factor. And that is definitely the higher-ups with huge bonuses, huge salaries, going, do we need that small town right there? Do we need this one? Can we phase it out? Or all these cities right here, can we just broadcast from one location? The streaming services are doing that. They're broadcasting from one location. They don't have seven different news stations that they're having to fund. And how do we keep from having to do that? Hell, that was the NBC and Fox affiliates up in Boston. There was a wreck, and everybody had their helicopters out. And one of the guys, they were sitting at a table together, and they were like, hey, do we both need helicopters out, or can I just borrow your helicopter? And he was like, yeah, we should actually do that. That would save us money. And so that's become a factor in the broadcast part, but that's become another factor in why the streaming has gotten more powerful, because they can do it from one server in California or one server in North Dakota.
And so I'm just intrigued by all this, because we all know how popular sports in the NFL is. I guess I just didn't realize its stranglehold on the top of the list.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable.
A brief history. 31 years ago, there wasn't really sports talk radio in Dallas-Fort Worth. Yeah. Now, you did have Randy Galloway and Norm Hitchkiss and a couple guys doing their thing on AM.
At night.
That were like an hour.
It was a niche. Yeah.
Right. It was, and then all of a sudden, 30 years ago, sports talk radio did start here. And you've had, obviously, Us the Fan. I'm sorry, is it 15 years? 16 years?
We've been here since 11.
Yeah.
I know, but so they were around for several years. And there was more before
that. When I was in college.
Might have been the first year.
I might have even been before that.
I bet Spittle will come in and tell us.
He would definitely know. But
idiots learn the history of your station.
That is a fair point.
and I believe the Fan. I mean, I can't be positive, but I believe the Fan's going to be around for a long time. Oh, obviously, you know, our competitor, The Ticket, has been around for a while. Yep. And they're probably going to be around for a long time. And you would say, 31, 32 years ago, everybody thought, no way could sports talk radio work as a 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. thing. And that doesn't work.
And even we're changing. You know, we went from just being a broadcast signal in your car to now you can get it on your phone, and now you can get it on YouTube and Twitch. We've had to evolve in that throughout the entire time, too.
Well, again, I appreciate you guys engaging me in that conversation.
And how many people are making thousands upon thousands and really millions of dollars, not probably individually, just a few, that just are, I say, random people, that are people that don't have a resume and they just started a YouTube page and they said, I'm just going to talk about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk about the Raiders. I'm just going to talk about the Mavericks. And they're making money. I'm not saying they're making a lot of money. A few are. Most aren't making a lot of money, but they're making enough money to pay the grocery bill or to pay the heating and air conditioning bill. Like, and there's zillions of them.
Yeah.
It would be impossible as a Maverick fan, maybe possible, but to watch, just sit there for 12 hours. You could watch 12 hours of random people and some famous people talking about the Dallas Mavericks on a daily basis.
Yeah. By the way, the NFL, I know the story's been going around in the last 24 hours. Their ratings dropped 2.2% this year.
Good.
In 2023, their ratings had gone up 7%. So I think they're still okay with where.
And the Thursday night football ratings went up.
Yes.
Like 3%.
So
that's interesting.
Thursday night football went up. You know who really took it on the chin, right?
Monday night?
Monday night football. Part of that is because they quit simulcasting as much on ABC.
Because they were like, this Manning cast is and really taking over.
Part of it is some of those games were just flat out.
God, I wonder how many more people NFL gets. If NBA gets 500,000 to 2 million more people by just throwing the game on ABC versus ESPN, I wonder how many more people.
4 million? 3 or 4 million?
I was thinking.
You think more than that?
Yeah, I was thinking at least 5 million.
ESPN dropped by 14%. So there's some insight into it. It's a pretty hefty drop.
817, Randy Galloway here. Just saw Mark Henry and suplexed him in the moist, moist 6-inch snow. Time to go check
there
out those road lizards.
Way.
He loves our show, Kevin.
I know, I know that, but suplexing Mark Henry feels like a Herculean task.
The power of
task.
Randy Galloway and that cigar and some tequila, you never know. Fair. All right, coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, baseball nuggets, Mike.
I asked some Ranger versus Ranger questions, like who will have a better year for the Rangers, Berger or Jock?
3-1 is cranked down the left field line. This one's got a shot. It's gone. Marcus Semien with a line drive home run. Just over the wall and just inside the left field foul pole, his 14th dinger this year. We're tied at one.
And don't forget, you can get a Marcus Semien autograph on Monday. Not today, because we got to move it. But on Monday, the Rangers Caravan begins right here. It'll be at the Fan Showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway. Downstairs, Marcus Semien is going to be there. Cody Bradford doing autographs as well. Doors open at 6. They start signing at 6:30. And they'll have Jared Sandler and the Hot Stove at 7, plus free Whataburger and other cool things, giveaways as we go along. It's always a fun event when we get to work with the Rangers. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right, so the next 2 days, I just need to make a clarification here. Corey, sometimes on Fridays, we don't do Baseball Nuggets, and the Cowboys are in the playoffs, right, on Saturday or Sunday or Monday I think night?
They didn't make
so
it.
So probably shouldn't do Baseball Nuggets today.
Yeah, we should be preparing for that game.
And yes, I saw, I don't know if you talked about this on air, when you pointed out that Cowboys guests had already been booked for the Dallas Card Show before they had officially been eliminated from the playoffs.
Like 3-4 weeks ago, there were people signing autographs for the Dallas Cowboys for week two, like the divisional round. I was like, I know what Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones, everybody's selling. And even on our station, I'm like, the Dallas Cowboys players must not be believing it because they are going to be signing autographs on the week of the divisional round.
But you should check out the Dallas Card Show now. They know what's
okay. So I am going to ask you guys Ranger versus Ranger questions.
All right.
So I'm going to put a Ranger versus a Ranger currently on the team, and you tell me why they are going to be better than this Texas Ranger, or hopefully they'll both be great, but this guy will be even better. My first question is this. Who will have a bigger impact on the 2025 Texas Rangers, Jake Berger or Jock Peterson?
I'm going to go with the guy that hopped on our show first, Jake Berger, who was a fantastic personality, for one, and I'm expecting a lot of things from him at the plate this year. He doesn't have quite the same cachet as Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson has this, everything I've heard about him as clubhouse guy is insane. Heard the same thing about Berger. Just Jock's name's been out there.
He's been an all-star. Yeah. He's been in the home run derby and put on a great show.
Yeah.
So I think more people definitely know who Jock Peterson is when the Rangers got these two players.
But you got two really good clubhouse guys, but I'm going to go with the Berger.
Well, I'm going to go with Jock Peterson.
What?
Doesn't mean
he was on our show, dude.
I know. Doesn't mean
we could add Jock too.
That I don't think Jake Berger can be really good, but I just think Jock Peterson will bring something in terms of being able to hit different pitching that maybe we've struggled with in fastball hitting. I know Berger can do that as well. I'm excited to see what Jock Peterson brings to the team.
Okay, I'm going to now ask this question based off of those two players. Last year, Jake Berger had 29 home runs. Jock Peterson had 23 home runs. Maybe this is too easy of a question.
What are their batting averages? Can you throw those out real quick?
Batting average, 275 for Jock Peterson, and for Jake Berger, we have 250.
Okay.
Who'll have more home runs? Berger had 29 last year. Peterson had 23.
Let me answer this first, Corey, because clearly logic is going to go against me on this one.
Okay.
I'll stick with Jock Peterson, but I know all you have to do is be like, I mean, what happened last year?
He might play more. I don't know how Bochy's going to juggle that, but having, you know, right-handed bat, left-handed bat, how you decide what you're going to do there. I think I'll go with Berger just because he seems to me more like a home run or bust guy, and Jock can hit for doubles.
So I think versus left-handed starting pitchers, I think Berger is going to bat fourth in the lineup.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll take it.
I think versus right-handed starting pitchers, which is obviously the majority that you're going to face, I think he's going to bat somewhere between sixth and eighth.
It's great to have that flexibility when you have what you have at the top of the lineup.
It's already a very deep lineup if you're completely healthy.
Yeah.
All right. So now
it's
I ask a completely healthy question.
Oh, no.
120 games is kind of my goal, but it doesn't matter. All I'm going to ask you
Don't ask the question yet. Out there, just you're thinking, Kevin, you said, oh gosh, you could be talking about pitching. You could be talking about all these things on.
I immediately thought about Josh Young.
120, but.
Josh Young, maybe Evan Carter. That's going to be my guess. All right, before I hear the question,
okay.
I'm going to say it's Josh Young versus Evan Carter.
Gotcha.
I like that. Could be a good one, too. That's a really good question, but I'm going to just go with the left side of the infield. Who will play more games next year, Young or Seager?
I'm going to say...
I'm really hoping they both play 120 or more apiece, but, I mean, last year...
What odds would you put on that? Like 5-1?
3-1 okay. That Seager will play more games.
No, that both of them play at least 120 games. That's tough. History says...
Oh, you're saying like you'd make money if they both played 120 games.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I would say I'd probably still put it at 3-1, but I'm with you. 5-1, 3-1. Like it's unlikely if you look at the history of Seager and Young, unlikely they both play 120 games.
I'll take Young.
I will go Seager.
For two reasons. One, Young's injuries have been accidents. I know it's like the ball just is drawn to his wrist. Like I get it, but his has been weird things. Seager had something in the groin area. He's had lower body injuries that I think are, Mike, you've talked about Dak in this way, could be problematic to him playing the shortstop position as often as he wants to. And hitting-wise, I still think he'll be okay. If you just said, go DH, Corey, I think you'd be all right, but he's not doing that. So I don't think that, I think he's going to have an injury that you're like, dang it.
Yeah, and to your point, my opinion is worthless. And I know that Corey Seager would say, shut up, Mike, I do think him playing at shortstop is detrimental to his health. The Rangers disagree, and guess what? I'm not part of the Rangers front office, so that's where my opinion doesn't matter at all. I do think part of his injury problem is he's playing such a demanding physical defensive position, and he's 6'4", 230. He's not built like a shortstop. He doesn't look like a shortstop. I get the shortstop position is changing with like O'Neill Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz, but... when you look at those guys are really fast.
Lean.
And they're quick. And I think that if Corey Seager were to move to first base, you'd have a better chance of keeping him more healthy throughout a season.
And I'm going to go with Corey Seager just because you've been wanting to see Josh Young for 4 years.
Yeah, really since he was drafted.
Exactly. And you've gotten 1 year where he hit 122 games. The rest of the games he's played combined don't even come close to that. Mm. They're like 70-something.
Why are you doing that to me, man? That hurts my heart.
I love Josh Young because the one Didn't full season like you got of him, you felt really good about.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Foolish.
My next question, I'll stick with position players. And I think that this would be a true statement. It's a somewhat of an opinion, but I think I could say it's true. Marcus Semien and Adolis Garcia had arguably the worst years of their career. Right. Now, you can go back to Marcus Semien very early with the Chicago White Sox, like as he's developing, he's a rookie, second-year guy. But once Marcus Semien figured it out, remember, Adolis makes the major leagues at a very, I think he's made late. It at 28 yeah. years yeah. old or 29. So. Yeah. 27 is when he played for the Texas Rangers in the COVID year and played three games. So he really makes it at 28 years old. He didn't really have the developmental stage of playing in your early 20s and trying to figure out this league. Who would you bet on having more of a bounce back year, Marcus Semien or Adolis Garcia?
I'm going to go with the guy that's going to be here Monday whenever he's down at the fan showroom signing autographs. And here's why. This is very, very easy for me.
I just want you to know, Corey, I've heard you say this before. I'm straight up going to rip off your answer, and you're the reason why I'm going to pick the same.
He is Bochy with World Series. He has a bad year, he bounces back. He has a bad year, he bounces back. You go look at his history in every other year, whenever it's bad, it's Cam Newton. It's good Bo bad Bo. Every year that he's good, the next year's kind of down, and then he bounces back. I know age is a thing, but I think there's just something about him where he's like, that wasn't good enough last year. I got to be better. Here's the work I'm going to change.
I mean, I prepared you for this, Mike. Literally what he just said is why I'm going to answer the same.
Okay, so Marcus Semien, just to let you guys know as we go to break here in just a second. Marcus Semien in 2023, OPS of 826. Gosh. Last year, 699. Now I go to Adolis Garcia, OPS 836 in the World Series championship year. Last year, 684.
Wow.
Those exact. Were such major drops by both yeah. guys. You need a rebound from both of them. Yes. But one of them has to get closer to that 800 OPS that they were for a championship team instead of being below 700. Both of them, your number one and number four hole hitter coming into the season ends up both going under 700 OPS.
The Rangers did add power, though, where they didn't have it last year. They yeah. added and said, just to cover that up, we can move you down in the lineup. They need Simeon's on-base percentage to be there this year. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time to power rank the playoff quarterback power rankings.
There you go.
Next in the Fan.